you're after some tips for your finances, you've probably noticed the finfluencers, people on social media dedicated to giving out ideas and sometimes offering what seems like too good to be true investments. But there can be some problems with what they say. Dr. Dimitrios Salampassis joins us this morning to talk about what good financial info should look like and the red flags to watch out for. He's the Associate Professor in Emerging Technologies and FinTech and FinTech Capability Lead at Swinburne University of Technology. Welcome, Dr. Dimitrios.
Good morning, and thank you for the kind invitation.
It's a pleasure to have you on the show. So lots of us look for financial tips on social media. Mm. Why has this grown so much?
So basically, a finfluencer, as you mentioned, is a social media person who talks about money, things like, you know, budgeting, savings, investing, crypto, and also maybe how to make a passive income. And these particular tips, you normally see them on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, X. And basically, these places is where most people go, usually young people, to get some education, entertainment, or, you know, see products being promoted. One of the problems, though, with this is the fact that, especially in Australia, under the Australian Financial Services Law, these influencers seem to be providing financial advice. And this is actually not legal if you don't have a financial license. And basically, we have seen in the past lots of cases of people, I wouldn't say being scammed, but I would say seeing, you know, all these ads or all these flamboyant pictures, which seem too good to be true. And basically, one of the things that finfluencers actually do is to click on what we say the emotional aspiration of a lifestyle for many people. And this has been causing lots of problems. And this is why the ASIC is trying to do, the Australian Securities and Investment Commission, is trying to put some boundaries on how can you actually receive financial advice, but do it in a compliant and in a way which actually protects consumers.
So how is good financial advice actually regulated in Australia? What should it look like?
So basically, when it comes to finfluencers, the main requirement is that they have to have a license, which is actually provided by an Australian Financial Services license, and that means that they need to be either licensed or authorized, which means that they would then be able to provide financial advice. At the same time, that means they need to be very careful on the kind of content they put out there, because the content needs to be accurate, they need to be balanced, they need to warn against predictions without reasonable grounds. Therefore, you would see licensed influencers, including financial services guys, they would put a scheme, they would S and TMD before acting, they would use actually legitimate numbers, they would provide recommendations rather than advice. And basically, that means they don't show things which are too good to be true and things that they wouldn't be able to justify. So I think bringing that level of professionalism is very important, and also making sure that whatever it's out there, it's compliant, and it's actually not at the tone which would actually be able to build on the emotional aspirations for people. So it has to be measured, it has to be documented, and it has to be verifiable.
So you've mentioned that for accredited or people who've gotten the licensing to provide some general financial advice on social media. What are some additional red flags that you need to watch out for on social media from finfluencers, in addition to too good to be true specific scenarios?
So basically, one of the things you have to look is if the finfluencer is licensed or authorized. So basically, currently, there is a registry where people can go and check if it's called the Professional Register Search Tool, which basically you would go and check a finfluencer's credentials. That is driven by ASIC. You would actually look at the tone of the language. You would look at the different content. Is it realistic? Is it actually promise financial outcomes? Also, would they disclose their personal financial position or investments when discussing financial products or strategies? Another thing would be, are they transparent? For example, what is their track record? How accurate their track record is, or are they accountable for their track record? Would they even address a case where the audience lost money from a particular strategy that the finfluencer put out, and what actually happened to that respect? And also, do they tailor content to different investment risks or profile or financial maturity level in their audiences, or they just keep it very broad and you know, very generic? So I think professional influencers would go down that pathway to ensure that they don't mislead or provide, you know, these deceptive recommendations. We've seen in the past influencers with sports cars, luxury goods, you know, flamboyant hotels or, you know, very fancy restaurants, but that doesn't actually mean anything. So it's not about overstating. It's about providing this kind of recommendations. And also, they need to provide proof of their financial expertise. And this is something I think ASIC has been very, very direct on, to ensure that these people have the right credentials, they've got the right education, and basically they don't simply extend invitations to people to join closed groups to learn, in inverted commas, their hidden secrets, basically.
Are there some additional or better resources for guidance to help keep your finances on track?
Look, one of the things we have to remember is that currently, because of also of the overall volatility we live in our lives, lots of people are looking for different ways to make money. They're looking for different ways to receive advice. And it's also, there is a big generation right now which is driven by technology. So basically, normally, if you are more of an elderly person or more advanced professional, you wouldn't really go to a YouTube channel or a TikTok to seek advice. Maybe you would do this in a way to check or verify a couple of things, but that's not your first priority. However, we see now behavioral differences between also younger Australians and older Australians coming forward. So basically, that means younger Australians would probably go to look at this kind of content because probably they may not even be able to, afford to go to a proper financial advisor. So they would look into all these TikTok, Instagram, or YouTube videos. I think it's also a matter that from a population point of view, lots of these people are looking for pathways to financial participation. So there is a traditional pathway to go to a financial advisor to, you know, do all this from an institutional standpoint. But also, I think what influencers are doing is they're creating some sort of a layer of interpretation and validation rather than more of a immediate action as it used to be in the past. So there's lots of resources out there. It depends what kind of advice you're looking, and also what is your risk appetite, and also what kind of content you are actually looking at. And I think what influencers are doing, I think one of the good things they do is that they are more of a first point of entry into financial thinking, especially for younger Australians who are native to social media.
That's great. And for younger Australians, once they've gotten that little taste of financial advice and planning, what additional resources are out there available for them, especially if they're on a budget?
I mean, look, there are a lot of fintechs at the moment that they provide similar tools that they can look at from an investment point of view, from an advice point of view. But I would say personally, the most important thing is to be able to trust the advice that you receive. And I do understand that advice can be costly. However, it's very critical to ensure that this is done in a compliant way. I mean, advice is something that is not cheap, unfortunately, which also increases the barriers to entry. So definitely, I would suggest to look into resources that are provided by different fintech startups or other organizations, but also make sure you check on the main website of ASIC or the regulator, who also provide additional support and provide additional content as well. It really goes down into what is it you wish to achieve, what kind of content you're looking at, also how knowledgeable you are.
Thank you so much, Dr. Demetrios. We'll put up the links to those to the ASIC website on the post,
yes,
on 2SER. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's
been great to hear about some of the cautions we need to look out for when looking at financial advice online.
Thank you so much.
That was Dr. Demetrios Salampassis, Associate Professor in Emerging Technologies and FinTech and FinTech Capability Lead at Swinburne University of Technology.